Not so long ago, our friend Josh McDowell stood in front of a large crowd of about 7,000 mental health professionals and spoke to them as if he were speaking to a crowd of concerned parents, when the very first words out of his mouth were these: "The day of the sleepover is over." We've talked about this before, but when you think about it, it's not impossible that your child could be just one click away from having his or her entire life destroyed. Parents navigating the ever-changing world of digital technology is our topic today on Licensed to Parent. Well, welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. I'm Rich Rozell, here with Trace Embry, the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill and the host of Licensed to Parent. And Trace, within the, I guess, the grand scope of the Licensed to Parent broadcast, the subject of digital technology always seems to come up in one way or another, or at one time or another. But today, this is actually going to be the entire focus of our broadcast.
Yeah, you know, Rich, if the Licensed to Parent broadcast was a broadcast in any other time in radio history, I don't think there could have ever been a more consuming subject pertinent to parenting kids than the subject of today's screens and keyboards. The Depression, World War I, the Dust Bowl, World War II, Elvis, the Beatles, the Cold War, the sexual revolution of the 1960s couldn't hold a candle to the influence and on parent-child relationships when it comes to the subject we're going to be talking about today, digital technology.
Right.
Whatever other subject you want to talk about pertaining to raising kids, digital technology will most likely have a part in the equation. So as parents, we might just as well get used to it. You want to talk about sex? There's a digital angle. You want to talk about drugs? There's a digital angle. You want to talk about rock and roll? There's a digital angle. For crying out loud, Rich, there's a digital angle if you want to talk about camping.
And we will camp on that thought for just a moment. Sorry for the pun. Yeah. Let me, though, take a moment to introduce today's guest, because he's the one who's going to be bringing all of this to the digital table in front of us. Our guest is Dr. Joshua Straub, PhD. He's the president and the co-founder of the Connection Group. That's a company designed to build relational connections between generations. And as an advocate for families and parenting in the 21st century, Dr. Straub's passion is raising the next generation to love and to relate well. Now, Josh speaks and writes on the two key ingredients necessary for building healthy families, those being intentional parenting, something we also talk about a lot, and a loving marriage. Now, in addition to being a family and relationship coach, Josh is also an author. He co-authored God Attachment, the quick reference guide to counseling teenagers, and the video and workbook collection that we're going to be bringing into today's conversation entitled The Screen Balanced Family, Six Secrets to a More Connected Family in the 21st Century. And by the way, Josh and his wife Christy are loving, intentional parents of their two children, Landon and Kennedy.
Joshua, welcome to the Licensed to Parent broadcast, brother. I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
You know, when I first saw you, you were teaching a workshop at the American Association of Christian Counselors, and I was so impressed that a guy of your age, you're a relatively young guy, a lot younger than I am anyway, was speaking with authority, and you got it. And I was just very impressed with that. Other than loving our families and winning them for Christ, can you tell me of a more pertinent and important subject as it pertains to raising our kids today than we're talking about today, digital technology?
Yeah, I mean, really at the core, parenting in the 21st century is so different than generations past. Mm-hmm. I mean, and because of the rapid pace at which technology has hit our homes. I mean, if you imagine just in 2010, only really 4 years ago, the iPad was first introduced.
Yeah.
The iPad itself has only been around for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And today we have apps and games and things on our on these iPads, on these devices that we're putting in front of our kids, and putting them in front of our kids, and it's impacting their brain. And when you put technology in front of a child, you wire their brain for that activity. When
right.
you put a face in front of a child, a relational person across from them, you wire their brain for relationship. And so I think at the core, we're called to love God and love others, but to do that well, we have to be safe with our kids. We have to be loving. We have to be interactive. And technology is starting to get in the way of some of that.
Yeah. And then the smartphone came on, I don't know, what, 7 years ago, 8 years ago? I can tell you that since the smartphone, we've seen a tremendous difference in the kind of kids that come to Shepherd's Hill. Did a lot of this advanced digital technology come on the scene so fast that we never really had or took the time to adequately sort through the safety precautions and develop proper age appropriate protocol for usage that some of these things really do require? I mean, I'm thinking about the industrial age of the last century and how, automobiles came on the scene and we realized that, wow, you know, people are getting hurt in these things. People are getting killed in these things. Headlights, turn signals, 100 years later, airbags, seatbelts and whatnot. And now technology is moving at the speed of light and we're not keeping up with the safety precautions and we're giving adult toys to kids. And I think we've really done a disservice to the future of our kids and our culture. Can you speak to that? I know I've kind of bumped my gums a little bit too much on it already, but you're the expert. Tell me what you think about it all.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, the Model T Ford was the first automobile mass produced in 1908. And it wasn't until 1949 that standard disc brakes were put on and introduced into a car. 10 years later, it was 3-point seat belts, and then ultimately came padded dashboards and brake lights, just like you said. But the point is it took 41 years for us to realize to put standard disc brakes on a car would save the physical lives of people. And I think exactly what we're talking about here. We're only 4 years away from an iPad, 7 years away from smartphone. We're in the engines. I mean, we are just, this stuff is just born.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that as we look at this, for the spiritual and emotional lives of our kids, because that's what we're saving here with limits on technology. You realize the chief technology officer of eBay, as well as executives at Yahoo, Google, Hewlett-Packard and Apple all send their kids to Waldorf schooling, classrooms where technology is completely and totally omitted.
Right.
Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, the people who created these devices protect their kids from them.
Right.
If they're doing it, why aren't we? I think it's a very important question to ask because the creators of these devices understand what it's doing to the creativity and imagination of our kids' brains. For me, that's why this is so critical.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that's important to add to that comment is the fact that we're not saying that because these folks send their kids to the Waldorf schools, they are therefore totally eliminating electronics from their kids' lives. I doubt seriously that is happening, but they obviously recognize the value of setting limits and using these devices constructively. Not in just a haphazard, you can use it anytime you want to kind of win some way.
Absolutely. Bill Gates allowed his kids on the internet 45 minutes a day. He's restricted it to 45 minutes a day, and they weren't allowed to have cell phones until this, from what I understand and have read up on. He also allowed them cell phones when they were 13 years old, but they were only allowed to use those as actual phones when they turned 13. They weren't smartphones, if you will. So.
I was at a conference in Irvine, California, and I don't know, are you familiar with a guy named Ryan Anderson?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Okay, I don't remember if it was him or another one, but 35-year-old guy giving a big talk about some of the dangers of digital technology, and if this is the same guy, he said, I used to program video games. That was my former job. He says, I couldn't live with myself because we knew exactly what chemicals in the brain were going to get aroused during particular parts of this or that or the other video game. And so it's almost like they know exactly what they're doing. It's almost like the cigarette industry wanting to generate new customers. What can you tell parents about that?
Yeah, I think there's a bigger, I don't mean to be a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination, but I do believe that there's a bigger system out there literally that are creating minions, if you will.
Yeah. You don't have to apologize to me for that.
Just minions walking around at the beck and call. I mean, just go to a restaurant and you see the practicalities of that with people on their cell phones. You see their heads down and in their phones when they're sitting right across from one another and could be interacting face to face. They're slaves to their phones. And, mm-hmm. and you know, Dr. Diane Langberg, who's she's the chair of the American Association of Christian Counselors, and she's been a friend of mine, she said to me one time, she said, you know, she said, anything that you cannot fast from owns you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
And I think that's what's going on here. They know how to create these devices in a way that can literally own our brain.
Yeah.
And I would challenge parents to this themselves. If you yourself cannot fast from technology, you're not going to be able to model for your kids what you want them to do. And it starts with us as parents. We've
yeah.
got to model it to ourselves, and we've got to take fasting. We yeah. have to have fast days from technology and be able to separate ourselves from it as well.
And that's a program in and of itself. But many parents would never entertain the idea that their kids could actually be addicted to video games or other digital technology. If you told them their kids could actually be chemically addicted, they'd look at you cockeyed. Can you speak to the chemical addiction factor in video game addictions?
Yeah, and I think what ends up happening is this alludes to the feeling. I talk about a feeling better culture that we live in. We live in a culture that values feeling better over loving better.
That's right.
And so what we do is basically what ends up happening is the dopamine in the brain floods the ability to be able to think because we feel good. It makes us feel good. So let's go to social media. I mean, our teenagers today are becoming addicted to social media and building their self-identity around it because of the likes that they get, of the satisfaction and the affirmation and the approval, the social approval that they get from likes and followers, and they literally become celebrities in their own little worlds. And the word selfie was the word of the year in 2013. I mean, we're living in a selfie culture, but we're becoming, research shows that our kids are becoming more narcissistic and less empathetic towards other people
as a result
of this. And so that plays into the addiction as well, because of course you want to feel good about who you are. Of course you want to feel affirmed. Of course you want to get, you want to feel like you're important. And if you're feeling like you're important in this world, it's going to draw you in. It's going to suck you in. It's going to connect you even more to it. Because that dopamine in the brain just overwhelms it. It makes you feel good. And it's the pleasure part of the brain that becomes triggered.
Well, the answer to therefore avoid these addictions and to avoid having our kids reprogrammed by digital media, by social media, by iPods, iPhones, whatever else there may be, obviously is to just cut them off completely and never let them happen. But in truth, I really would appreciate your thoughts on this, Josh. We try to set limits in our family. And you had mentioned 45 minutes a day and whatnot. And we've done that. However, we've got 5 children. How would you address something like that when you've got multiple kids in the family? Because we believe on the one hand that the computer, for example, needs to be in an open space in the house. How do you appropriately set these balances?
Yeah, I think first of all, starting right there, is having a computer where it's in the family room, where everybody uses it. It's wide open. The other thing that I would say is setting certain hours for technology. So, for instance, making sure that homework comes first and foremost. And so if the kids need to complete homework and there's one computer in the house, I mean, today, pretty much all of our kids have each of our kids have a device at some level. So I think it's important that those kids' devices are all being used at one central location. We call it a family tech zone within the house, where everybody uses it at that one location. And so, but if there's only one particular computer for, say, 5 kids, setting up particular hours that, hey, listen, the homework gets done first, and then if there's any computer playtime after that, child one might get, for me, I would say a certain number, a period of time per week, and then have a sign-up sheet that, hey, listen, here's where you're going to get your time, here's when you're going to get your time, here's where you're going to get your time, so that they know and they're aware and their expectations are set.
Right.
But I think you have to bring them into the conversation too. I think there's got to be this level of understanding and to have them be able to problem solve with you. And, mm-hmm. and we talk about that in Screen Balance Family. And that's why we call it the Screen Balance Family, because we're not saying no technology. What we're saying is let's be balanced as a family.
Right.
And I think the whole family needs to come together and have these conversations to say, what do you need? And when do you need to use the computer? And what do you need to use it for? And make sure that everybody's needs are met first. And then when it comes to actual leisure time on that particular computer, setting up particular hours and a schedule and that kind of thing of when who uses it and when they use it.
Our guest is Joshua Straub. He's a gentleman who has written and studied extensively on the digital addictions that our kids may be facing. And we would love for you to find out more about the resource we're talking about today. It's called The Screen Balanced Family, Six Secrets to a More Connected Family in the 21st Century. You can learn more at joshuastraub.com. That's joshuastraub.com, STRAUB.com. This is Licensed to Parent. We've got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more conversation right after this. Our kids' hearts, minds, and souls are being influenced by our decadent culture. And with today's smartphones putting access to the world at their fingertips, we're allowing digital technology to become our kids' other parent. Don't believe it? Well, do your kids spend more time with their devices or with you? Don't miss an evening that can change your family's lives forever. Raising Healthy Kids in the Digital Age, featuring parenting expert, author, and speaker John Roseman, cultural expert and American Family Radio host Alex McFarland, and founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Academy and host of the Licensed to Parent radio broadcast, Trace Embry. Together, they share their combined insights on raising healthy kids in the digital age. Tickets are $10 when you order online, and all proceeds benefit troubled teens. Learn more and get your tickets at LicensedToParent.org. That's LicensedToParent.org. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face-to-face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the Family Coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org. This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program for teens in crisis located in North Georgia. And our guest today on the program is Dr. Joshua Straub, Ph.D., president and co-founder of the Connection Group, a company designed to build relational connections between the generations. And one of the resources that they have developed is one I mentioned a moment ago. It's called The Screen Balanced Family, Six Secrets to a More Connected Family in the 21st Century. And Josh, there's a lot more that we'd like to talk about, but before we move on, can you just touch on some of those six secrets or some of the key things that families really need to bear in mind as they're trying to balance technology use in their home?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically what we do is we spell out the acronym RELATE in terms of the six secrets. Respect, emotional control, setting limits, having assertiveness as a parent, stepping in, ways to train our kids' brains, and then ultimately building in our kids' brains the ability to have empathy, the ability to care for other people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if there's anything that I want, it's that I want to raise my kids to love God and love others. And so we have different strategies in there. We have very practical tools in there, from a screen life emotion log where you can keep track of your emotions as you're using screen time and social media. We also have different apps to look out for you know, to help educate parents on the different apps that are out there. One of my favorites is the eNup, the Marital eNuptial Electronic Nuptial Agreement for Married Couples. My wife and I do this where, for instance, we'll have no technology, no phones at the dinner table at all, ever. It's not even a negotiable. We promise each other we won't be texting while we're driving or using our phones while we're driving. So stuff like that where there's eNups. We have a fast day from Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown where we don't use technology. It's just a fast day to fast from it together and be together as a family.
Wise stuff.
So it's just an electronic nuptial agreement that you have together, because I believe that it starts with it starts in the home with the parents. Mm-hmm. And so when the parents set those boundaries, it's a lot easier for the kids to follow through. So we have just a couple other things, like a family media agreement where the kids come in then, almost like it's an agreement for the entire family. One of my favorites is called Family Links. It's a selfie ways to serve others. So it's a way for the family to come together and serve the community together and grow together while you're helping other people. And so, so just very practical tools to help families reconnect in face-to-face time, what I call eye contact, EYE contact instead of eye contact, just with the small letter I. So getting away from the screen and more in face-to-face relationships.
Yeah. But you mentioned empathy, and before smartphones, we saw a lot more empathy with the kids that came into Shepherd's Hill. Today, it is like we're creating a generation of Frankensteins with some of this digital technology. And when they're out in the woods, away from it long enough, that brain's very malleable. It will rebuild. And I'm amazed at how they get some of this stuff back. But I would say that a smartphone, like a car, is an adult toy. Some of your thoughts on that, and what kind of parameters should parents be setting when it comes to smartphones? Because I'm seeing 8, 9-year-old kids with their own smartphone.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. First of all, I love that you said what you did about what you're seeing in teenagers who are in the wilderness for a period of time. Mm. I love that God created our brains in such a way that they are malleable. We're not hard and fast, that if I messed up the first few years of my child's life by allowing them technology that I can't undo this.
Right.
It can be undone, and we can rewire our kids' brains, and we can rewire our own. I think that giving our kids smartphones at an early age, you're right, it is an adult toy. The scary thing about it is the access that they can have to pretty much the most grotesque images that you can imagine in a matter of a click of a button, and then go to the pornography. We live in a culture that's driven by the selling of sex, and it's just there in the click of a button. I meet with parents who literally have their teenagers physically assault them when they try to take their cell phones away.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's they're addicted to it.
They absolutely are,
and it becomes their identity. They can't get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I talked to a parent the other day who was trying to be very intentional in the use of technology in her home. And she was asking me if I could recommend a whole house filter so that no matter whether it was the iPad or the computer or the iTouch or the iPhone, and I'm using the Apple products just as an example, but Androids, whatever, no matter what digital device they use, that they could put filtering on the internet as a whole from their home so the kids couldn't get on. And I made a few recommendations, but I also asked her, I said, do your kids have smartphones? Well, yes, they do. And I said, well, you realize that when they are accessing the internet, it's not normally through your network.
And you can't filter them either.
And, you can. There are software solutions available that have to be installed on the devices.
But not, it's easily to be unraveled.
And also, there's not a way to block it externally like that unless you happen to own the phone company, which most of our parents don't. But could you maybe toss a few thoughts out about that? I think we're entering into this naively.
Oh, absolutely we are. And Snapchat, too. Parents don't know what their kids are on.
That's right.
Parents don't even know what... I mean, I meet with... doing youth ministry, I know kids who set up their own Instagram accounts, and they make them private, and their parents have no clue what they're posting up there, the parties they go to, the things they're doing that their parents have no idea about.
That's right.
And the Snapchat world, you know, teenagers are naive to think that they can be sexting and sending pictures and that image is going to be deleted in 5 to 10 seconds when it hits the other phone. It is there permanently.
It's there.
And
yeah.
Can be retrieved at any moment. And I'm already hearing now, too, this has been ongoing, and I'm starting to hear more and more and more of it, is pictures that are posted on Facebook, pictures, even things that are said on Facebook, is preventing people from being employed and
right.
getting into colleges because they're using those...
background check.
Vet the candidate.
Background checks.
Yeah.
And they're looking at them.
We do it
and,
here.
And yeah.
I had to do it with Rich.
No, I hate to say it. You would have had very boring reading on my Facebook page.
But no, at Shepherd's Hill, we do it with the staff. I mean, we don't want someone that's going to be making a fool of themselves or someone else if they're going to be dealing with kids here.
And it's wise, I think.
Yeah. We're about out of time here, John. It's been just tremendous to talk with you. But with respect to digital technology, if you only had just a few seconds, and you really only do, to alert and educate the parents, the parenting world, rather, with your knowledge on this subject, what's the one thing that you would tell parents as we leave the broadcast today?
Here's the thing. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said that a true test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be the parent you want your children to grow up to be. If you can't disconnect from the devices, your behavior will lead to what your kids do.
Children are a living message that we give to a world we do not yet see.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Our guest today on Licensed to Parent has been Dr. Joshua Straub, PhD, the president and co-founder of the Connection Group. That's a company designed to build relational connections between generations, a lot of what we've been talking about today. He also has co-authored several books and developed The Screen Balanced Family, 6 Secrets to a More Connected Family in the 21st Century. You can learn more about all of those resources and more about Dr. Straub by going to joshuastraub.com. That last name is spelled S-T-R-A-U-B. And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program located just north of Atlanta, Georgia, helping teens in crisis. You can learn more at licensedtoparent.org. And if you feel that you could benefit from some one-on-one parenting help, let me recommend the Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching Program that comes alongside to provide help and guidance with the issues that might be challenging your family. Again, you can learn more and get connected on our website, licensedtoparent.org. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you back again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.